Today for our Friday Forum webinar, we are welcoming UVA alumna Christy Mims. Christy, who graduated from the college in 2000, is a professional career coach and founder of the Forbes Top 100 career website, The Revolutionary Club. Focused on helping you find career happiness, she's got tips, tricks, expert advice, and free resources for you to grab right from her website, www.therevolutionaryclub.com. Why? Because number one, you deserve it, and number two, it beats hating your job. Named one of the top 29 career experts to follow in 2016, she's dishing out all the career help you can handle. So please join me in welcoming Christy Mims with When People Make You Tired, Networking for Introverts.
Awesome. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here, and I love this topic, so I'm not going to waste any time. I think we should go ahead and dive right on in on this Friday. So here we are. We're here today to talk about networking for introverts, but before we get deep into this topic, I want to talk about what anyone needs to be a great networker as my start, and the two things that you always need if you're going to dominate, no matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert, are systems and confidence. So let me talk about what I mean by this. So systems are things like maintaining your network, having coffee with people regularly, sending follow-up emails, knowing what to say in your subject line so you get a response, knowing how to use LinkedIn. And confidence, of course, is the belief that you have something to offer your network, the idea that you're not a fraud, you're not a bother, that you truly are there and ready to help and be of service to your network. And I find that when you have good systems and you understand the networking techniques, it boosts your confidence, and so you feel a lot better about using them. So today, I really want to dive into some systems that are appropriate for introverts, especially because we're a little bit of a different breed. And yes, I am 100% an introvert, so if you hate networking, trust me, I understand. And I want to give you the systems to help boost your confidence so that you'll walk out of here just feeling so much better about how to network and you'll know what to do. So let's talk about our agenda. So the number one most important thing for introverts to know about networking is where I want to really start the meat of our conversation. I want to talk about the four types of introversion out there and how being an introvert can actually be an advantage. And we don't often think about this, but it is true. I want to give you four key strategies. These are really concrete systems to help get the most out of your networking as an introvert. And people ask me this all the time. They say, oh my gosh, how do I not sound creepy when I'm talking to someone? How do I not be awkward or weird? And so I want to talk about how to do that in a way that's going to feel comfortable for you, because that's our whole point here, is to make you feel comfortable so that you don't stop networking. You get out there and you do it. And why? Why is this important? So the obvious reason is a hidden job market. Please type in yes or raise your hand if you have heard this stat that 80% of jobs are never advertised. So if you've heard that before, yes. Oh yeah, I see it's coming in. All right, people are raising their hands. So what's interesting about this stat is it's been taken as conventional wisdom. Recently, people have started to contest it, but there's still agreement that the vast majority of jobs are never advertised. So why is that? Well, part of the reason is because we like to hire people that we know. If you dig into the numbers, what you'll find out is it costs companies anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000 to search for, hire, and train someone new. And that's a lot of money if that person quits immediately or doesn't stick around for long or doesn't work out and they have to restart that process. So much like when I ask for a recommendation for a restaurant or you ask for a recommendation for a plumber, because you want someone good, companies want someone vetted. So they often start by asking their employees for referrals. So a lot of jobs aren't advertised because someone's just found before the company even gets a chance to list the job. Or once they do list the job, they've actually already got a candidate in mind because they picked out someone in advance, because they are a government organization and they have to list the job for whatever reason. Something that we often forget is that you could be applying for a job that's already got someone and they're just checking the box to make sure that they go through the process, which makes not networking a problem. Because if you take away all the jobs that never make it to the market, and then you take away all the jobs that do make it to the market, but they've already got a candidate in mind, that really narrows your chances to find that great job. We want to open up your opportunity here. And that information about what companies are hiring and that information about whether a job is wired for someone or not, that comes from your network. So huge reason why networking is important. Please tell me, chat in, if you have ever gotten a job, showed up at the company, and it's like totally different from what they told you to expect. The work environment is different. The job role is different. Yeah, I see some people, Bill, Valerie, awesome, Susan, raising their hands. Yeah. Or sometimes you might end up in a completely hostile work environment. I've heard horror stories from people who've been almost lied to by a company in the interview process. Oh, wow, we've got a lot of hands raising. So networking is really important, because you get a chance to vet the company yourself through your network. If the company says, oh yeah, we work hard, but we play hard, and you have a strong network, you can ask them and say, the company told me this, is this really true? And your network might say, yeah, they work hard, they have zero fun. So if you like to work and not play and not have a life, definitely work there. Or the company might say, you know, we really value family, and we value flex time. And you can ask your network, is that really true? And your network might say, yes, that is actually true. They do really support families, and you can work flexible hours to be with your kids. And then you can feel good about accepting that job. It saves you so much stress, because you never want to be caught in a situation where you job search, you get a new job, and you immediately hate it because the company told you a completely different story from the truth. You don't want to be in that situation, and your network can help you avoid it. All right. So, huge. I know you guys know this, but I have to say it. Your network impacts your salary. So, if you have any of you ever, feel free to say yes, have any of you ever agonized over what to ask when you're job searching, or even what to ask for in a promotion? So say yes if you've ever agonized over, oh my gosh, when they ask me that awkward, what do you make question, or what do you want to make question? Yeah, oh, yes. Yes, it's like Dan says yes, I have agonized. Kelly says yes, or I've never asked at all. Yes. And it's awful, right? Because this is your salary. You need this money to survive, and you're worried if you say the wrong number, you won't get the interview, or if you say the wrong number, you won't get the offer. Or potentially you haven't asked and now you're under market. You're being paid less than you're worth, and that feels terrible, but it also impacts your salary for years to come. If you start under market and you stay under market, you could lose tens of thousands of dollars over the life of your career. So if you have a great network, you can ask them, hey, what is the salary range for this position? Can you give me some insight? And they can say, yeah, it's 75 to 100. And therefore, you can ask for 95 or 99, and you come in the salary range, everyone's happy, you're not undervalued, you meet the company's expectations, you're paid what you're worth. So having this information from your network, or even being able to ask someone in a comparative job, if not at your company, so you know what the market rate is invaluable. It's literally priceless, because it will, again, impact your bottom line, not just today, not just tomorrow, but for years. Once you start to be undervalued, it's really hard to get out of that. All right. Cannot emphasize this enough, how your network can help you with this. My network has helped me tremendously figuring this out over the course of my career, and it's made me a lot of money because of it. All right. This is something we don't talk about a lot, but I think it's something that we don't think about enough, because this is huge for promotions especially, and for getting recruited by someone who leaves your company and reaches back to you, which is one of the most fun ways to get a new job, is just to have someone else sell the company on you. So do you chat in what you think people would say your three biggest skills are? Do you think that your boss or your boss's boss or the people in your network know the things that you really most want to be known for? So when I say biggest skills, it could be that you are a strategic thought leader. It could be that you are an Excel master. You know, it could be that you are a project management specialist or PMP certified or whatever it might be. But do you feel, no one's really chatting in on this one, do you feel like your network knows and your boss knows and your company knows the things that you want to be known for that directly impact your ability to get a promotion and get a better job? So the answer to this for most of us is probably not, or they only know part of the story, not all of the story. The problem with this is that when you are up for a promotion, or when you are up for a salary bump, or especially something sizable, you're never in the room for those conversations. When the final decision is made, you're almost certainly not going to be there. You're just going to be told afterwards, which means that someone else is selling you. And if they don't know how to best sell you, if they don't know the skills that you want to be known for and that, you know, the things that are really going to help the company, if they don't know that about you, it's not going to help your chances. And the same is true for your network outside of your company. If you want someone to refer you to a job, you certainly, certainly want them to be able to sell your skills and abilities. So your network is really responsible at your company and outside to help sell you, to help get you these promotions, to help get you in the running for certain jobs or certain opportunities that might not otherwise come your way. So if you feel like you couldn't answer yes and people couldn't say those three things, and I love some of the stuff you guys have typed in, programming, software, scrolling through the chat, supportive, great teacher. If you feel like they can't really market that and that's something that you want to be known for and you're not, you know, you're not using your network in the most efficient way. So huge, because this impacts your job opportunities down the road. And of course, and you guys, I'm so passionate about this that I'm going to try not to get on a soapbox and talk about this for 2 hours because I could. But the number one reason why networking is so important is because it is your career safety net. So I'm Generation X. I did not grow up like a baby boomer with the idea that a company would provide my pension and I would work at the same company for my entire life. You know, anyone who has that myth, it is a myth now. The economy is changing. It's just a company is never going to take care of us. And a lot of us, though, still fall into the trap of, if I keep my head down and I work hard, I'll be safe. But no matter how talented you are, no matter how successful you are at your company, the minute that they have to cut you because of budget, they will. They might fight to keep you for a while. They might, you know, try to take care of you. They might help you network, help manage you out, but they will cut you loose when they have to, when it comes down to it. So the only safety net that we have left in today's world is our network. If you never want to be unemployed again, your network can take care of you. If you have a strong network, you never have to worry about job searching. Does that mean you're always going to have your dream job? No. But if you see an acquisition coming, if you see a round of layoffs coming because of poor performance, or if you're just bored out of your mind and you're desperate to get into a new job, you can pick up the phone, call your network, and immediately get connected to opportunities if your network is strong. So I just, if you take away nothing from the next, you know, 45 minutes, hour that we have together, please remember this, that your network will save you in your career again and again and again and again. And this is why networking is so important, and we all need to stop making excuses about not doing it, because this will save your career and take away so much stress to know that when things get rocky, your network can help connect you with opportunities and get you hired. And I've seen that happen again and again with my clients. It happened with me before I became a career coach. My network was able to save me multiple times. This is really important. All right. But now that I've said all of that, yes, networking can feel like a black hole. If you type in the words that networking makes you feel, does it make you feel tired? Does it make you feel drained? Does it make you feel anxious or stressed or frustrated, scared, fake, anxious, awesome, frustrated, tired, yeah, drained, all of those things, overwhelmed. Oh, overwhelmed is a good one. Fake, thank you, Susan, I love that. Confused, yep. Unnatural, oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Sharon. I'm going to talk about that. Yeah, it is. It does make a lot of us feel that way, especially as introverts, right? Because we often draw, depending on which definition of introversion that you have, you draw your energy from yourself, not from other people, and it's exhausting to network, to be out there making awkward small talk, right? Part of the reason networking feels so bad And one of the reasons I used to dread networking so much is because of rooms like this. When you think about networking, is this what you see? A beige hotel room, people in awkward suits with name tags that are probably sweaty, making horrible small talk, and it's stifling, and it's probably the most, the least amount of fun you can have with other people. Yes, do you think about, is this what you see when you think about networking? Because this is what I used to think about when someone said, oh, you need to go network. I was like, I cannot go to another beige hotel room and make awkward small talk with people. I can't do it. It's exhausting. Yeah. Okay. Beverly says they want to run away when I see this. Yep. Yep. It's terrible, right? This is terrible. No wonder you don't want to network if this is what you see. Who would? This is awful. I don't want to network when I see this. Of course not. And in fact, I have a quick story about this for you guys. So networking is something that obviously I love, and even though I am an introvert, and it's something I've used throughout my career. But when I was starting my coaching practice years ago, I signed myself up for a bunch of conferences and events to help get things going, get the ball rolling. And it was a big deal for me. It was a career transition for me. And I went to this conference, the World Domination Summit, a few years ago in Portland. And I drove up. I used to live on the East Coast, but now I live in California. And I drove up from California to Portland, took a road trip. It was actually supposed to be fun, but it was exhausting. So I arrived in Portland. I was exhausted. This was a picture I took at the kickoff party. You know, 3,000 people at this event. And then the next day, I got up. There's a bunch of speakers. I went to the speakers. Lunchtime came, and I fled. I ran away because I was so exhausted just from the first half day and the kickoff party the night before. And I went back to my hotel room and hid out for the entire lunch period. And then it was time for the afternoon sessions. You know, we had some inspiring speakers. It was a beautiful auditorium. And I walked outside, and I stopped. And I was standing outside in the streets of Portland, and I couldn't make myself move. And it was the worst feeling in the world, because the number one place I did not want to be right then was there. I did not want to go back to this conference. I did not want to talk to anyone else. And I'd paid money to be there. I'd made this huge trip out of it. I knew it would be helpful for my new business to help kind of build connections and get me inspired. But tell me if any of you felt this way, because this is the feeling that I had in the time of, it felt physically uncomfortable. It felt like, I don't know if anyone watches Game of Thrones, but it felt like the flayed man. Right, it felt like Ramsay Bolton was like peeling my skin away. That was how physically uncomfortable it was for me. And I don't think I've networked my whole career. I don't think I've ever felt like that. People are agreeing. Erica says all the time. Diane says yes, physically uncomfortable. It was the worst. And I was talking out loud to myself. I tried to give myself a pep talk. And I'm thankful I was in Portland, because I feel like people there are more open to that and friendly to that, to people talking out loud on the street corners. And I actually had to mentally slap myself, because I had forgotten my networking systems. I know how to do this. I know how to go to conferences. I know what systems I need as an introvert. And because of the road trip and because of the overwhelmingness of changing careers and trying to get started, I had just forgotten everything I already knew. And that's what we're going to talk about today, these systems. And I put them, I like basically slapped myself upside the head, administered a strong pep talk, and was like, just use your systems. Do what you know how to do, and you won't feel this way, and you'll have a great conference. And I'm so glad that I had that awakening moment and remembered everything I knew that I'd clearly forgotten in my stress, because I went back, and the conference was amazing. And in fact, I was only really present for a day and a half, right, because the party the night before in the first half, I was super stressed and anxious. But the results of a day and a half were using these systems, were two new clients, I got to meet one of my heroes, I got two brilliant ideas for my business, and a feeling of accomplishment, right, that I didn't let this beat me, because I know how important it is. You know, we've just talked about extensively how important this is. And I was trying for you guys, I was trying to quantify this a little bit in terms of my overall career. How has this helped me in a concrete way? Because I can talk about the safety net, I can talk about all that stuff, but I think it helps to really say, here's the example. So it's given me, and I was having, it depends on how you quantify it, I feel like close to $500,000 in extra income because my network has told me what salaries to ask for, what to ask for in promotions, has helped me with my business. I definitely got promoted. I was the youngest principal in my business unit. I became the director of, $30 million business unit with a team of 30 working for me. I had multiple job offers in my career that I was able to leverage against each other for salary increases. But most important, it helped me start my coaching practice. And my network, I credit my network with helping me find my passion because I was miserable. And I'm not going to go into my backstory here because you can read about it if you go to therevolutionaryclub.com. And maybe someone can chat that in if you wouldn't mind. Mary Ellen, in case anyone's curious, if you go to the About section of the Revolutionary Club, you can read about my background as a consultant in DC and what I did to make the switch to be a coach and that process that I went through. But, I'm not going to get into that, but I just want to say that my passion is helping people find work that they love because I think that we never taught this in high school. We're never taught this in college. We're just told to put our heads down and do work. But you're going to work for 50 years. Your career is going to last into your 70s. And for most of us, we're going to spend more time at work than we will at home, than we will asleep, and than we will with our spouse or with our kids. So your career is actually more important. It's one of the most important choices you're going to make because that's where you're going to spend almost all of your time. So my mission is to get over 1 million people into my coaching programs and products and on my website to help people find work that they love because you deserve it. You deserve it. Your career is so long and you should be happy doing this work because I think when you're happy, your life changes. And when you love your work, the impact is tremendous. So that's why I'm here and that's what I do. And I have to credit my network. Forbes named me a top 100 for careers. Hashtag CV called me a top 29 career expert for 2016. And I've been fortunate that my message and my mission to reach these people and talk and help people figure out what they love has been, featured on Yahoo and the Daily News and all these other places. But I'm not saying this to brag or to, say, oh, I'm amazing, because I'm not. I'm just saying it to say I'm an introvert. I'm with all of you guys. I hate that beige room. But my network changed my life, helped me find my passion, and there's nothing special about me. So if I can do this, you guys can do this. So let's really get into it. Let's talk about the systems that I want you to start using. But before we do that, let's go back to the black hole for just a second. Because this is what most of us think about when we think about networking, because we see this horrible, I won't keep this up for very long, because we see this horrible beige hotel room, we struggle. This is not a good scene for most introverts. And therefore, because this is how we define networking, we don't do it, right? Have any of you ever looked at, thought about networking like this and you just shut it down? You just stop networking entirely when you think about it because this is what you see. Yeah, Meg says all the time. Yep, absolutely. So I want to start by talking about the number one most important thing to know about networking because I want to change your view of it because this is what really helped change my life. The number one most important thing to know about networking is that it's actually natural. So someone said earlier in the chat that networking is unnatural, and I want to bring up some science in a second to help with that. But before I do, anytime you have a coffee with an old friend and they say, hey, how's work going? What are you up to these days? You're networking. Anytime you drop your kids off at daycare or at school and you chat with the other parents about what they're up to, you're networking. Anytime you go to a picnic or a community meeting or you're out and about and you chat with someone new, you are networking. Networking is natural. It's something that we as humans are wired to do. It is not something that only happens in awkward beige hotel rooms. Stanford actually came out with a really interesting study in the last couple of years, and I want to give you all what the most important piece of the study. So what they said was that human beings have been socially networked in one manner or another for as long as we've been on the planet. We have historically availed ourselves of so many successive techniques and instruments for facilitating and maintaining our networks. These include structured social affiliations and institutions such as private and public clubs, lodges, churches, as well as communications technologies such as postal and courier systems, telegraphs, telephones. So if I could sum this up for you, we as humans have always banded together because there is safety, survival, and progress, and even happiness, to be found in using each other's strengths and sourcing group wisdom. What this looked like eons ago was people banding together to say, hey, over there is a pride of lions. Maybe don't walk that way, you know, or you might get killed. And today, it looks a little different. It might be like, hey, where should I go to dinner? You know, I have $200 to spend and I want this type of dinner. Where, you know, what would be the most fun for me? Or what plumber is going to fix my toilet? Or what company is hiring? Right? The conversations are different, but it's the background structure is still the same. We as humans are wired to network. It's how we stay alive. It's how we survive. So let's let some of the stress and anxiety go. It's not unnatural. Everyone does it. You do it every day. Anytime you post a question on Facebook, you are networking, right? So take a deep breath. It's going to be okay because networking is ultimately just a conversation. That's it. With someone new that you're meeting for the first time or with an old friend that you're catching up with, you would be amazed at who your friends and family know that can help you in your career. So we can all get off of our fainting couches collectively a little bit and take a deep breath because networking is natural and you do it all the time. You do not have to go to beige hotel ballrooms in order to network and in order to help your career. You can network in your own way as an introvert. You can figure out the situations and scenarios that work for you and only do that because networking happens everywhere. You just want to maximize what works for you. So I hope that you have pen and paper ready, by the way. I meant to mention that at the beginning and I always forget, because feel free to take some notes. I'm going to ask you to chat in, but also write some stuff down because let's do this now. Let's figure out your systems right now. But before we do that, I want to actually give you two other pieces of good news. And one is, let me back up. This is actually really helpful for introverts. Extroverts, not so much. So there are some good things about being an introvert when you network, besides the fact that networking is natural. So the first question I have for you is actually, have you ever been worried about losing your job or desperate to get a new job? Someone tells you, oh my gosh, you have to start to network. And so you immediately try to like reach out to 10 or 20 or 30 people, and you're kind of desperate. Has anyone chatted in? Yes. Has anyone ever been in that situation? Meg says yes. Yes. All right. Awesome. Oh, in it now. Oh, yeah. All right. So here's the good news for introverts, which I'm excited about. So networking is a lot like losing weight. You cannot do it all at once. You cannot say, hey, it's Friday. I'm going to lose 20 pounds by Monday. It just doesn't happen. However, if you put in some systems, if you start eating salad for lunch, if you start working out 3 times a week, if you cut out soda or sugar or alcohol from your diet, in 4 or 5 months, you'll have lost 20 pounds. And it won't actually have been that hard because ultimately what you're doing is you're changing some small things in your day-to-day life, and then the weight just goes away, right? Networking is the same way. You can't just say on Friday, I'm about to get fired. I need to add 30 people to my network and immediately get a new job. It just doesn't work that way because networking is based on relationships. If people don't want to help, we don't want to help people we don't know. Right? That feels like an imposition. We want to help people that we have a little bit of a relationship with. It doesn't have to be much. It just has to be something. And that takes a little bit of time. But the good news is, if you just change a few of your systems, if you start having some coffees with people, if you start doing a little bit more on social media, if you start using LinkedIn a little bit more, over time, you'll add people to your network, and in 4 or 5 months, you'll actually have a reasonably robust network. Which brings me to my second point, which is that networking is about quality over quantity, which is great news for introverts. I have extroverted friends. They probably have 300 people in their network. But if those people don't raise a hand and review a resume or offer to connect you or answer your calls, they're worthless in your network, right? That's not a real network. A good network is people who are willing to sit down with you and do an informational interview or connect you to someone who will, to have coffee periodically and chat about what's going on in your industry, you know, to invite you to events or attend events with you. A good network is someone, people who are willing to help you. And you can have 5 or 10 people who, if they're really strong in your network, and that could be an amazing network. That could be all you need. You don't have to have a cast of thousands. So this doesn't have to be this overwhelming thing where you need to meet 30,000 people. No, you do not need that. Quality people in your network trumps quantity every single time. So if I could repeat this, you don't need a big network to have a great one, which is wonderful for us introverts. We can focus on the quality. We're going to be more inclined to focus on the quality because we don't have the energy to put to a million people, and that's good news. So what we need to do is set you up for success, and I want to get into what that looks like based on what kind of introvert you are. So there's four, this is newer research actually, just to share with you, that's come out in the past couple of years. Excuse me. So I'm going to share something from Jonathan Cheek, who is the psychology professor at Wellesley College, but there's a couple of different people talking about the types of introversion in this newer research. So social introvert is the most common definition. It's what we've usually defined introversion, what we have defined it as over the last 20 or 30 years. People who prefer to be alone or in small groups, you'd like to stay home and read a book or have a cup of coffee with someone rather than meeting a bunch of people all at once, right? Small groups versus large groups. Thinking introvert is a bit of a newer definition, and feel free to chat in which introvert you are as I go through them. So thinking introverts don't have the same issues with small or large groups. Instead, they are introspective, thoughtful, and reflective. So another way to look at someone who's a thinking introvert is that they are often lost within their own thoughts or lost within their own world, right? So they appear a little bit detached or not fully present all the time. An anxious introvert is someone who seeks out solitude because you're not comfortable or confident in your skin, and that discomfort can follow you even when you're alone. So unlike a social introvert, you might feel just uncomfortable and anxious by yourself, where a social introvert usually doesn't. So an anxious introvert is someone who tends to overthink and over worry about things that go wrong, and you get trapped in your thoughts, and it's really hard for you to make progress. And then the fourth one is a restrained introvert. So you operate at a slower pace. You might take time to organize your thoughts, or you might take a lot of time to even get going in the morning. So someone might be interacting with you and it seems a little bit odd because you're kind of slow to respond or slow to engage. Another word for it could be reserved, right, instead of restrained. And a couple people are chatting in two different versions, and that's perfect. These overlap. You might not just be one, you might be a couple. Usually you're probably dominated by one. Yeah, we've got a lot of social and thinking maybe restrained. Yep, good. The reason this is important is, here we go, advancing the slide. Let me go back for a second. The reason this is important is because the more we can understand about you, the easier it is to set up your systems, right? So all of us as introverts, we're all slightly different. So my system isn't going to work for you necessarily, but we can adapt everything I'm teaching you to work specifically for you. So let's dig a little bit deeper. How do you best like to interact with people? So how do you best, and just jot down a word or two if you're taking notes, do you like small groups? Do you like one-on-one only? Do you only like to interact with people that you know? Or are you comfortable maybe going to a meetup or an Eventbrite or a speaker if you have a friend or if you know a couple people? So you might be comfortable in larger groups if you know people already. Think about it. And then where are you most comfortable? So for instance, are you really comfortable only at your house? Are you comfortable more in coffee shops? Do you like bars and happy hours? You know, do you like bigger events or if you're more comfortable interacting with people where there's a speaker or some sort of very clear thing to talk about topic-wise? And then finally, what drains you the most? So, is it the idea of like not knowing anyone? Is it the idea of large groups? Is it the idea of the beige hotel room? You could know everyone in that hotel room and you still hate it. Is it just trying to find these events? What really just drains you the most? So it could be anything. Just jot down what comes to mind. Yeah, not knowing anyone. Stacey says making conversation. Yeah, that's a big one for a lot of people. Trying to prove yourself. Loud, large groups. Yep. Awesome. These are great, you guys. So the more we can dig into what you don't like and the type of introvert you are, the more we can better design a system that's going to work for you. So my point here is understanding is the key to building the right support systems. So let's talk about the type of systems that I want you to start building for yourself. This is by no means, by the way, an exhaustive list, but these are the four key categories that I find help the most. So I'm going to break down each of these networking wingman, networking day, networking space, and the actual physical space that you network in. So let me talk about all of these. But first, have any of you ever seen How I Met Your Mother? And have you, okay. So I'll just quickly recap. In How I Met Your Mother, Barney, who is Doogie Howser, whose name I'm forgetting right now, the guy on the left, is a player, and Ted is his friend, and they go out to bars a lot, and Barney will turn to a girl and say, "Have you met Ted?" and then leave Ted alone with this girl that he's just brought to him, right? And that way Ted will get some action because Ted's not as good with the ladies. So Barney is basically, you know, the alpha wingman, if you will, to use dating parlance. But this can be adapted for networking. And it's something that's so shockingly easy, I don't understand why more of us don't do it. But think about getting a networking wingman. So that could be, that networking wingman can present a couple of ways. It could be another introvert that you agree to go to events with. So you have a safe space at events. So you have someone that you know. So there's always somewhere to go in case you get stuck alone or in an awkward conversation. So that's just a support person. Or you can link up with someone who's a little bit more extroverted and bring them to conferences and to events and have them go out and meet people for you and then bring them back to you if you're someone who doesn't mind talking with strangers as long as it's one-on-one, right? So there's a lot of different ways to adapt this networking wingman. At the conference that I went to, the one in Portland that we talked about earlier, I had four. I just wasn't using them. I was so silly about that. So I went back and, you know, reattached myself to my networking wingman, and they helped me. You know, I don't mind talking to new people at all, but I like to have a safe island to go to when I get tired, right? If I've had an awkward conversation or something else. So I was able to just retreat back to my networking wingman whenever I needed a break. A friend of mine goes to conferences, and she uses a networking wingman to go meet people for her. The person goes out, talks to people, and if they're good for her business, brings them back, because she doesn't mind having one-on-one conversations with strangers. She just doesn't want to have to initiate or talk to more than one person at a time. So there is a lot of ways to do this, but I want you to think about who you can start to incorporate in your life as a networking wingman who can help you by going to the events with you, by introducing people for you. What can you do to take some of the work off yourself and save, conserve some of your energy and really help build your network this way? You know, I'm all about lazy solutions, so why not make someone else do some of the work for you, right? Oh, yes, Neil Patrick Harris. Thank you. I could not believe I forgot his name. He's an awesome actor. I love him. All right. So networking system number two is your networking daily habit. So chat in and write down, what is the time of day when you feel most energized? We all have a time of day. Some people are morning people. Some people are after work people. Noon, morning, awesome. Like if it's morning, is it first thing in the morning, mid-morning? I'm a morning person. I joke with people that I'm at my best between 10 and 11. But true story, I'm at my best between 10 and 11. So this webinar is going to get really good in about 20 minutes because I'm in Oakland. So we'll hit 10 o'clock and I'll really get going. But we all have a time of day that works for us. So as introverts, though, you know, we draw energy from ourselves, which is another definition of introversion, which means that you really want to network when you have the most energy. So if you have energy first thing in the morning, send your emails in the morning, meet people for coffee or breakfast before work when you're most open to it, and forget about ever attending another networking happy hour again. Seriously, just don't do it. Send your emails, do your social media, do it all in the morning. If you're a lunchtime person, take 15 minutes during lunch to, you know, start your networking, to send a few emails, meet people for lunch breaks or for coffee breaks in the middle of the day instead of at the beginning or in the evening, and, you know, never say yes to a morning breakfast meeting again. This is sort of the 80-20 rule in that it's pointless for you to go to a networking event if you feel exhausted, right? You will miss out on a few events, but just by networking at a time that feels great for you, you're going to do it so much more. It'll offset what you're missing out on. So don't feel guilty about turning down things that are not in your prime zone of energy. That's totally fine. I'm the first to admit, I do most of my networking between 10 and 11 in the morning, a couple days a week. And it works. It's amazing. Every now and again, you'll end up at an event that's not at your ideal time, but it's amazing how much you can get done once you zone in on the time that's right for you and how much easier it is on you when you're doing it at a time that feels good, right? So it doesn't matter, by the way, someone says I'm not a social media person. It doesn't matter if you're social media, email, whatever. Just do your networking at the time that feels good for you, however you like to do it. It could be having coffee. It could be sending emails. It could be doing both. Doesn't matter. All right. Okay, so here's the thing that I think we as introverts forget. We burn out faster. When you are drawing energy from yourself and not from others, and you're out there talking to people, it takes energy, and it leaves you feeling drained. So you have to take regular time off, and it's really important, more so for us, to schedule it. Part of your networking should be your nights off of networking, and it should be on your calendar. So if you've got a happy hour after work on Monday, don't schedule anything for Tuesday. You'll just be that much more drained. And I mean, it depends a little bit on your type of introversion, but for me, for example, I only go to 2 conferences a year because they just kick my butt. They kick my butt. I'm like useless for a week after. I have a great time. I meet 1,000 people. It works for me when I put my systems into place, but it just kills me. So I never schedule anything the week after the conference at all. And I don't schedule networking events back to back by any means because on two days back to back because it's tiring for me. And so, you know, I'll only do networking a few days a week, and it makes my life so much easier. So I want you to really make this conscious about when you're networking and when you're not, and don't feel guilty about not networking at certain times or scheduling in these breaks, because it means that you're really fresh when you are networking, and that's important. People, we like to help people that we like. We like to help people that we know. If you're exhausted, wallflower, anxious in the corner, it's hard to be likable that way. Right? We want you to be the best version of yourself, so take care of yourself. Give yourself a break. All right. Okay, and this is one that we don't talk about a lot, but I think it's really important. Pick your space. It's okay to have this, to go to the same space again and again when you're doing in-person networking, especially. So when I was leaving consulting, I was still working at my company. I knew I was going to be on my own in my business in a few months. I started really upping my networking with coaches and with other people in my new industry. And I had 2 coffee shops that were very near my, I used to work in DuPont Circle in Washington, if you're curious, and that were very near, one was in DuPont North and one was in DuPont South. And they were just far enough away from my office that I wouldn't run into anyone from my office usually, but close enough that I could get to them fairly easily and get back. And so depending on where the other person was coming from, I would meet them in one of these coffee shops because I felt comfortable. I knew what to order. It was not too loud, but it wasn't too quiet. There was comfortable seating. And it just made the process of networking so much easier for me because I wasn't anxious about being with a new person and a new space and not kind of understanding the situation. So for you, it could be you only like to network at your house. That could be okay. Start inviting people over for coffee or for dinner parties or for whatever. It could be that you feel really comfortable in a certain restaurant or a certain bar or a certain coffee shop or the library or a park. It doesn't matter. Just start to think about where you feel the most comfortable and encourage people to meet you there. It saves so much stress if you're not wasting energy worried about the space or how to get there or anything else, if you're just focused on the person. Right. Kramer Books and Starbucks. Oh, are you guessing where I met people, Diane? That's awesome. Neither of those places. but good guess. So I really want you to focus on your space and feel free to chat in where your best space is. Where are you the most comfortable? And start to use it. You'd be amazed if you have a couple of different places how willing people are to meet you and how much easier it is for them if you suggest a couple of places, right? All right. Oh, good. So Meg says Lupin. Yeah, that's an, which one is it? If it's one in DC, then anyway, I'm getting on a tangent. All right. So, excellent. Kelly says, I love meeting outside if the weather permits. Yeah, it's great. Go where you're comfortable. It'll make the networking process so much easier for you. Saves your energy. And speaking of that, networking gives you energy, right? This is something that we as introverts forget. But there's never been in my entire life one networking meeting I've walked away from that I haven't felt energized. 95% of the time I walk away from a networking meeting with a new idea and new motivation and just feeling good about what I'm up to. 5% of the time I walk away thinking, wow, that person was a jerk. And then I want to, like, it inspires me to prove them wrong or to do something else or to find someone new to talk to. So I still walk away motivated and energized. So networking gives you a lot of energy, and I want you to just remember this as an introvert, that it's not something to be scared of or frightened of, but if done correctly, if done in a place where you feel comfortable, if done at a time that works for you, it can really, really give you a boost that's almost shocking how good you'll feel. So don't forget this. This is hugely important, because if you feel good, you do things more often, right? When you feel good, you recreate that action. You do it again. It becomes a habit. So focus on the fact that it might be scary, it might be difficult, but you're going to feel great at the end of it. All right. So I know, though, that when it comes to, oh my gosh, talking to people and making what can feel like really awkward small talk, you get really stressed, right? Has anyone ever felt anxious when wondering what to say to someone new? When you're like, what, this is a complete stranger, how do I talk to them? Sorry, I saw a funny comment about the hat. Yeah, I like the hat too, which is why I use this photo. And by the way, if you have questions, I will take them at the end. So I want to make sure that we get through all the material first. So please feel free to keep typing in your questions once we get to the end. So how do you talk to people? How do you talk to a stranger in a way that's going to make you feel memorable, that's not going to make you creepy or awkward, or just like someone they don't want to be with, right? Or the worst case is desperate. So as an introvert, I think the number one formula that I've used again and again is to embrace your role, is to play a role, and the role is that of interviewer or reporter. This is the easiest way I can break it down. If we could spend 2 hours just on this topic. But the idea is that you are there to learn that person's story. You know, you're not there to think about, oh my gosh, what do I say next? How do I talk about me? How do I get them to help me, right? That inner monologue's gone. You're there to just learn about them and understand their story. That is your role. And if you do this, it kills a lot of your anxiety, because you're not in your head. A lot of us are in our head like, oh, what do I say next? Do I sound weird? I really want to ask them for help about this one thing. When can I ask them? Ah, I don't know when to ask them. Like, is it too soon? Should I wait? Oh my gosh, what's happening? And all of that is, the other person picks up on it. It makes you feel anxious. It makes you feel awkward. It reflects in your body language, and it doesn't translate well. But if you're there and you're genuinely thinking, how can I get to know this person better? Tell me more about your story. What else can I learn from you? The conversation flows easily. They feel heard and liked, and they like you, and that means that they're going to be more willing to help you. So how many of you right now are not fully paying attention to this webinar because you're looking at your phone or something else on your computer? Feel free to, if you heard this and I got your attention, but say yes. Yep, guilty as charged. Yep. Okay, so think about that. How often do you do that to other people in your life? Not pay attention to them, right? Or listen to someone with only half your ear. Taking notes is a little bit different. That to me says you're listening, so I'll allow it. Vikram, thank you. But for the rest of you, how often have you repeated this behavior with someone who can't see you, who can see you? I mean, I know I have. I'm going to raise my hand. I've been guilty of, you know, someone's talking to me and I'm checking my phone, right? I get a text, I'm distracted. Or someone's talking to me and something pops up on my computer and I start paying attention. I'm absolutely 100% guilty of that. Today's world, I think we've lost the art of conversation and we don't pay attention to people. And it's not good, you know? We have so many things distracting us. But when you do give someone your attention, when you give them 100% of your attention and they can see that, it's so rare. It makes them feel great. It makes them feel wise. It makes them feel interesting. And that makes you memorable, and that makes you likable. And again, we like to help people that we like. So the way to do this, and there's a lot of ways to do this, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to talk about this, is to use open-ended questions. Tell me more about that. Why did you choose that? What did you learn from that? How, what, why questions? You guys know this. I don't need to get into detail about it. But use open-ended questions. Draw them out. Keep that reporter hat on. Kill your own inner monologue, which is distracting to you and to them. Pay attention. Give someone the gift of your attention. That's, if you're wondering what you can offer your network, that alone is worth gold. Because again, how many of you are not really paying attention, right? So it's just, it's bad. We all do it. But if you don't, if you really pay attention, you set yourself apart. And my last piece of advice, when you are thinking about going anywhere to network and you're really not feeling it, and I know I've been there, I've not felt it, is that 8 out of 10 times you need to go anyway. As an introvert, you need to suck it up and go anyway. But you can tell yourself you're going to use the tomato timer method, which is 30 minutes of magic, meaning that you are going to, anyone, we can always do something for 25 to 30 minutes, the Pomodoro method. And if you go and you chat with people and you put your best foot forward and you start talking to people and asking them open-ended questions and really trying to engage, and if 30 minutes you still feel terrible, then leave. That's fine. You don't want to be the person stuck in the corner who looks miserable. No one wants, you know, no one really feels a connection or relationship with that. That's okay to leave after that. But 8 times out of 10, you should make yourself go and really engage. And then tell yourself you can leave after half an hour. What will happen 9 times out of 10 if you do that is you'll have a great time and you won't want to leave. And you'll last for an hour or 90 minutes or 2 hours even, or even longer. And you'll think, wow, I'm so glad I went, right? So make sure that you're putting yourself out there, that you're forcing yourself to be uncomfortable, because every time you do that, you grow your comfort zone and it becomes easier and easier and easier. All right, so small steps add up, you guys. If you network with one new person a month, if you have coffee, that's 6 people in your network, and you're starting to actually get a credible network at that point. If you do the course of 1.5 to 2 years, you've now added 18, 20 people to your network. A 20-person, really committed, active, warm network is worth its weight in gold. I mean, we've talked about why it's so important already. You know this. This is critical. This is the number one most important skill, the number one most important skill you can have. And the reason for that is because we like to hire people that we know. Companies want to hire someone who is known. We like to work with people that we like. So this is the way to stay employed and also have more opportunity come your way. All right. I want your network to be like an overflowing basket of puppies. And mostly I put this slide in here because I find it entertaining. But if you have a good network, this is what it'll feel like, right? It won't feel like that beige hotel room of earlier. It'll feel like this. You'll feel supported. You'll feel like your network is there for you, and you won't be nearly as stressed or anxious about it, right? See, good thoughts can happen with networking. I'm trying to reprogram your brains. And the other piece of advice that I live by is the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. So anytime I find myself with an obstacle or struggling or wondering or lost, I can always turn to my network and they will put me right back on the path. They'll inspire me, they'll motivate me, they'll show me something that's possible that I never knew was possible before. So this is another reason why networking can really just change your life and why it's important to have the right people surrounding you. So I'm about to take questions, but I want you to remember this. Get your support system in place, right? Do you need a networking wingman or some other version of that? Manage your schedule. Don't overbook yourself. Do a little bit. It's like losing weight. Change your systems. Do a little bit regularly, and your network will grow very quickly. Focus on progress, right? Sometimes you're going to email people, and they'll never get back to you because we're all busy or we pretend that we're busy. And it's nothing to you. It's nothing on you. It just happens. People forget. They mean well, or they're just jerks. It just happens. It's okay. Focus on the progress that you're making. And don't compare yourself to others. Don't ever look at an extrovert who's like, yeah, I just went to 45 networking events yesterday, and I'm going to 5 more today, and think that should be you, right? That shouldn't be you. Network in a way that feels good to you. Focus on quality over quantity. All right. So back to my original point, great networking needs 2 things, systems and confidence. I'm hoping that by changing your mindset on networking and giving you some of these systems, it'll grow your confidence, because if you feel confident, you're more likely to network, and I really, really want you out there networking for your career. And if you need more help, like how to create a network from thin air, or what to say, what you should say in a conversation so that people will help you, or more help on being an introvert, or how to build your confidence, or all sorts of things, I have a little free mini course for you. It's on therevolutionaryclub.com, networking-help. It looks like this. If you just go there, you can sign yourself up for it, and it'll unspool over a week. There's some videos, there's some emails, there's some worksheets, some stuff to really help you create this amazing network and be a lot more comfortable networking. And I have a lot of other material on my website, especially related to finding your passion. I have blogs, I have workbooks. 98% of it is free. By all means, please go check it out. Use these resources. They're there for you to grab. And I hope that they're going to be something that's really going to help you in your career, because you deserve work you love. You absolutely deserve to have it. And so anything that I can do to help you, I will. And if you're interested in learning more about me, you can go to therevolutionaryclub.com and learn my story and how to work with me and all that other good stuff. But there's, by all means, please take advantage of this free networking help, free training mini course on networking if you need it. I would be honored if you'd come and join the community and do that. So with that, let's talk about questions. So I missed some questions coming through the chat because it was moving quickly. So if I miss, I'm going to scroll backwards, but by all means, feel free to chat in your questions again, because there's a lot of people here and it's easy to...
Christy, I'm going to pop in for just a moment as you're taking a look at the questions. And thank everybody for joining us today. We really appreciate your being here, and we definitely appreciate Christy's insights. This was fantastic and so many wonderful suggestions. I wanted to mention that our next webinar is coming up on June 24th. Meredith Shields and Melody Jones are going to present Starting Your MBA Applications, What You Need to Know. So I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Christy right now. Thank you.
Awesome. So, all right. Amanda says Cocker Spaniels on the fly. How do you rotate through? I never know how often to check in, particularly if you do have a larger network. Easier if you only have 5 to 10 people. So Karen, this is a really good question. It's also a pretty big question. How often you rotate through and check in with people depends on how important they are to you. I think and also the level of connection you had to begin with. So if you know someone personally, you actually need to check in. If they've met you in person, that's what I mean, you need to check in some ways less, because anytime you meet someone in person, you build a stronger connection, right, than over email or over the phone. It's because the body language is how we communicate, and that instantly creates a stronger rapport. So I would say, check in with everyone, check in with the main people in your network, and you should have a short list of people who are more important to you. Check in with them at least a couple times a year. For people that you really want to hold close, you might want to have a regular standing coffee with them once a quarter or once a month. It's hard for me to say because, again, it depends on who's in your first tier, who's in your second tier, who's in your third tier. So if someone's in your first tier, you definitely want to be checking in with them several times a year. Someone in your second tier, maybe a couple times a year. Someone in your third tier, maybe even once a year. And there's different ways to do it. Again, you could have a personal coffee. You could send them a card in the mail to say things about you. You can start to be active on their social media feed and engage with them there. You can send them a book or send them an article, sort of to stand out, to do something a little bit different. There's lots of different ways to do it. It just depends on what you like to do and how your connection with them was established in the first place. I hope that answered your question. Chat in if it didn't. Alicia says, how do you identify people to reach out to, especially if you're not sure what your career will be or are contemplating a relocation, for example? Alicia, this is a good question. So the first thing to do is to identify your ask. It's really hard to ask people for help when you're like, I'm thinking about, I don't know, can you help me, right? I mean, that feels like an imposition. So if you don't know what careers if you're not sure yet, come up with a couple of things that you're interested in. Like, there was a period in my life, and you can read my story on my website, where I was interested in shoe design, being a children's book author, and coaching. So depending on who I was talking to, I was saying, hey, I'm really interested in shoe design. Do you know of anyone who's in manufacturing, right? Or do you know of anyone that I can talk to in the industry who is in fashion? I would target my ask depending on who I was talking to, and I'd do research based on what subject I was interested in. You can have a different ask for different people in your community, but you do need to do a little bit of legwork to at least identify some areas of interest first. Otherwise, your network's not going to really be able to help you, and people are going to find it a little bit annoying if you're not very specific with what you need help with. So narrow it in to the best of your ability, and you can say, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking about consulting. Do you know of anyone in that? It can be that general if it has to be. The more specific, the better. I hope I answered your question. Let me know. Okay, Valerie says, so what do you do when your network stagnates? Mine was very wonderful 10 years ago, but a lot of them are now out of work. I'm great with them because they'll come back to me one day, but now I don't know that many can help, so what do I do about that? Well, I would definitely do the How to Create a Network from Thin Air training that's on this slide, because that'll help you reinvigorate who you know. Second, it's amazing who people know. So even if they might not be able to help you, they might know someone who can. So I would reach out to them and say, hey, I'm interested in X. I'm interested in working in HR in a small firm in such and such an area. Do you know of anyone in HR, or do you know of anyone in that area that I could chat with about, you know, opportunities or about companies I should be looking at, right? I view it as Kevin Bacon. It's almost like 6 degrees of separation from Kevin. Someone in your know someone who's roughly in the area that you want or tangentially, and that person knows someone who's actually in the area that you want. So start there, ask them, be specific, and you'd be amazed at how far it can get you. I hope that answered your question. Let me know if it didn't. All right, hang on. Julia says, do you have any advice for situations in which you are a newcomer in most groups of people you would be meeting? I just moved to a new city and I'm starting a new career path. Well, congratulations, Julia, on moving and starting a new career. That's awesome. So I'm not sure what advice that you want. You mean in order to build your network, in order to be more comfortable in these situations? Can you elaborate a little bit and I'll come back to you? Okay. Hang on. I'm having problems with the chat right now. Oh, thanks. Someone said wonderful. You're welcome. All right. Hang on. Okay. So you meet someone on LinkedIn, then what? Should you make attempts to reconnect later? How often? Hang on. Let me scroll up a little bit because your question got cut off. So you met someone, connected on LinkedIn, then what? Okay, so yeah, if you want to keep them in your network, I mean, the first question is, do you want to keep them in your network? You don't have to. So if you want to keep them in your network, absolutely. You can go, if you go to their homepage, you can click on, I think, the connect button, and it'll show you their activity feed, or the email button, and you can just follow their activity feed. If you're connected, you should be able to, they should pop up in your feed anyway. But you can go to their page, their profile page, and see what they've been up to and start interacting with them on LinkedIn there. Comment on anything they've posted, or you can send them an email, say, hey, it was great to connect. We should catch up for a coffee next month, or in a couple months even. I've done that. I've connected with people and said, hey, let's talk again in 3 months. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but if you want to keep up with them, absolutely. The easiest way in the beginning is to just show up in their social activity feed so that you stay on their radar. All right. Very interested in the different types of introverts concept. Could you please provide source again? This one is, hang on, let me pull it out. So this one is Jonathan Cheek, C-H-E-E-K. He's a psychology professor at Wellesley College. If you Google types of introversion, you'll come up with a bunch of different things. Is LinkedIn really that helpful for networking? Ingrid, great question. Yes. I saw a report recently from Inc. 433 million people and growing are on LinkedIn. Recruiters use it like, I was about to say an inappropriate word there. Recruiters use it a lot. So it's where people are. People are poised to connect and talk about careers on LinkedIn. It is the number one platform for that, yes. Does every industry use LinkedIn well? No. There's certain industries that aren't very good on LinkedIn. I think lawyers tend to be pretty behind the times with stuff like that. Some of the financial industries are as well. But it is tremendous for growing your network quickly and for being able to find jobs and people connected to those jobs for informational interviews. So yes, spend time on LinkedIn, update your profile. I have on my blog, I have a 10-minute LinkedIn profile update if you need it. So you can go and grab it there. It's super, super simple. You are welcome, guys. Looks like I've answered almost all the questions. Let's see. I think so. If I missed it, feel free to type it in. Wait. Oh, no.
There are a few more, Christy. I can paste them in for you again if you like.
Could you? Because my chat is going crazy. Can you connect with me on LinkedIn? Yes. So I'm going to type my name in, and you can find me on LinkedIn. But I will say this, if you do not send me a personal connection request, I will not respond. So you must personalize your connection to me on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is full of spammers these days, and I only connect with people who bother to take the 2 seconds to show me that they're not a spammer. So the way that you do that is go to my profile, click the connect button, and you should be able to modify your connection message there. and you can use alumni, the UVA connection when they ask how you know me. And also you can follow me on LinkedIn if you just want to see what I'm up to, because I'm there obviously a lot. So I post a lot of good stuff there, and you're welcome to just follow me there and you'll see everything in my feed. How do you break into a small group of people talking at cocktail parties? Oh, good one. So my rule of thumb is I never go up to a group of two in a cocktail party if I can avoid it, especially if they're facing each other, because they're usually involved in a conversation.
Thank you, everybody. It looks like Christy's connection temporarily shut off, so we are trying to get Christy back. So please bear with us for just a moment. Thank you. While we're waiting to get Christy back, I just wanted to thank everybody again for being here with us today. We really appreciate your joining us. And again, a reminder that our next webinar is coming up on Friday, June 24th. So we hope that you'll join us then. We're hoping Christy will be back with us in just a moment. We will be sending out a recording of today's webinar later this afternoon, and that will include a survey. So we hope that you will return that to us. And hopefully we'll have Christy back in just a moment. Thanks.
Well, we just got word that Christy's computer has crashed, and so she is locked out. So we should probably wrap things up.
Okay, we're very sorry. Unfortunately, Christy's computer has crashed, so we will go ahead and end today's webinar. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. We will follow up with you in a little while with a recording from today's webinar, and please do join us again on June 24th. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.